Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, yesterday afternoon and evening, my daughter baked her first ever loaf of bread, and it turned out pretty good. And I was pleased with it. So she's a newbie when it comes to the food preparation business. She's 17, but maybe you've been doing it for a long time. Maybe you love canning, or maybe you've got a food creation that family and friends have always told you is so good you could sell. Maybe you should consider selling it. Oh, man. Lisa Kiver is back with us today. It's always fun talking with Lisa. She's a co-author of the book, Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen, and the new course, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. She lives on an organic farm in Browntown, Wisconsin. Always great to have her come by. Do you have your own homemade food business, maybe? How did you get started? We'd love to hear some of those kinds of experiences as well. But maybe you haven't yet and you have questions about how to make this happen. We certainly are looking forward to those questions, too. You can join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Lisa Kiveris, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Larry.
Well, just to start off, can you tell us, there's a term, cottage food.
Yes.
And what does that really mean?
Cottage food means this growing movement actually throughout our country of people becoming almost instant food entrepreneurs out of their home kitchen. But I love that term cottage food because it's all about the cottage, the small, getting back into our, yeah, our home kitchens, baking beautiful like your daughter's bread, that's awesome, and selling to our neighbors and keeping our local economies thriving. So small, but very handmade, hand artisan, but growing, especially now during the COVID pandemic.
And, you know, we weren't always able to do that here in Wisconsin, and you were involved in lifting a ban on the sale of home-baked goods in the state of Wisconsin in the past. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we're a little quirky in our dear state of Wisconsin. Cottage food is no exception. So basically, for folks interested, there's two categories of products that you can legally make in your home kitchen and sell. The first are high acid canned items. So those are the safer canned items, pickles, jam, jellies, that sort of thing. That was the pickle bill that passed in Wisconsin back in 2010, still exists just as it did. That's what, honestly, Larry, first connected me to cottage food and this opportunity that, whoa, we can use our home kitchens for public sale. I didn't know that. And what else could we do? And that's when we discovered that just about every other state in the country could sell baked goods, except for Wisconsin. We tried for years to get the cookie bill passed, which, oh, just long political story short, never did. So we have three branches of government in our fine state of Wisconsin, and myself and two farmer friends, Della Enns and Chris Marion, with help from the Institute for Justice, went to the judicial branch and successfully sued the dear state of Wisconsin to have the ban lifted. And the ban was determined unconstitutional. We all have a right, according to our constitution, to earn an honest livelihood. The government can't make arbitrary restrictions. So ever since October of 2017, it's been legal to sell your non-hazardous baked goods. We can talk more about what those are. We are quirky in Wisconsin. We still don't have a law technically, but it is perfectly legal to sell those items directly to your customers.
So you did it.
We did it. We're still doing it. But we do things, you know, at our own speed with our own drummer here in Wisconsin. But the good news is hundreds, if not thousands, of new businesses have started up across our state that are connecting people with their dreams in many cases. People may have been somebody, we know lots of people like this who have been baking something their whole life and giving it away for free, and friends and family at Christmas say, you should sell this. Well, now you can. And that has spurred so many new food entrepreneurs. And it's really empowering to go from giving something away as your hobby to being a food business owner. So that's been huge for our state.
Well, can you give us some examples of some of the folks who are involved in this and their own little businesses and so forth? And let's take either one, either in the high acid or in the baked goods area.
Sure, sure. The canned items you will often see popping up at farmers markets, where farmers like myself have excess produce and can it and bring it for sale. That is terrific. The baked goods, you see a wide range. A lot of, I'd go beyond baker. These people are food artisans with the beautifully decorated cookies and cake, things that are out of this world, Larry, to bread bakers like myself. And often folks bring their cultural roots and traditions into these small scale operations. For myself, I make a Latvian sourdough rye. Latvia is where my mom's from, in the Baltics. And rye bread's like in a religion where I'm from. So Salzkammeise is a sweet sour rye bread. It's a pretty unique bread. I don't know exactly where else you could get it in Wisconsin. So you see things like that, where people are doing specialty items that you don't find in the store. Wide net.
It is a wide net, and I've purchased a lot, and I'm really sorry that we're not here in person, because you usually bring along a little baked good for me to try.
I always bring treats for my Wisconsin Public Radio friends. This is a big rain check, you all. I'll be back.
Lisa Kivrist, our guest today, as we talk with her about starting a food business in your home kitchen. You can do it right here in the state of Wisconsin. But there's lots of things to consider when you're doing it. And we're going to be, as we talk with her today, we're going to be looking at all those various aspects of things you need to consider. You can join in, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, let's talk about some of those. There's a whole range of things that need to be considered. Maybe give us the range, and then we can zero in on some of the more specifics.
You bet. So first off, what we are talking about are food products. So I, for example, can pickles that I sell at the market. That is a cottage food product. But if I crack that open and put a pickle on a stick and sold that to you, that's food service. So like meals, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about food products. You need to sell directly to your customer. So, hey, that's commerce at its finest, right? Knowing your baker and your pickle maker. So selling direct to your customer in the state of Wisconsin. Every state has their own cottage food law. They can vary a lot. And basically, we're talking about within our state is the easiest way to describe that. And then also that you need to sell the safer items. So with canned items, they're typically called high acid. The safer items, using tested recipes from Extension or the Ball Canning Book. Baked goods are also what's called non-hazardous. There's a scientific test for that on water activity level, but it really includes the majority of breads and cookies, things that are shelf stable, things you would bring to a farmer's market and let them sit for an afternoon. So all of the sugar cookies, chocolate chip cookies, breads, things like that. You know, of course, you're not going to bring your cheesecake. That is a bad idea, but there's a lot you can do. And and right now, because we don't have a law for baking in Wisconsin, there is no gross sales cap. You can earn as much as you want, or as I often look at it, as much until your family kicks you out of your kitchen. There is probably a finite bit there. But speaking of leaving your kitchen, that is often a goal of a lot of the cottage food startups, is a dream of a bricks and mortar bakery someday. And what's awesome about cottage food is they're training wheels. You can get started tonight. You can start small. There's no investment. There's no debt. You can test your products, see if this is working for you. So it's a really strategic on-ramp for folks who might have bigger dreams down the line.
Yeah. And I imagine there are, and we can talk about, there may be rules, I'm not sure, relating to the kitchen itself. In your own kitchen, there are things you may have to, some standard you may have to meet.
Sure. Food safety is of utmost importance, and it's especially important amongst our community of cottage food entrepreneurs, because that is what's making us all successful, is that trust factor. And I personally trust people's kitchens. It's the place we feed our family. It's the place that we live our lives. But when one is transitioning into producing a food product for sale, it's of utmost importance that, yep, your kitchen, you follow all of those safety rules and basically keep things exceptionally food safety minded when producing these products.
So let's think about this. There are so many food products out there already. You know, I think it's important to think about how is your product unique or one that people may be interested in buying?
That's a great question, Larry. And that's really important, is what it is that you do different. It might be, again, a special family recipe that's different. It could be how your product looks. Again, these custom cookie decorators create works of art, but their biggest business is custom orders, where somebody wants something personalized for somebody's birthday or a special shape or whatever it may be. We're seeing amongst the pandemic, a lot of folks are ordering cookie care baskets for essential workers and having a lot of fun there with creating cookies that represent healthcare workers, or that shade of blue on the scrubs from hospitals is a thing in frosting worlds to match that. So there's a lot of ways to get creative with what you're doing and be very unique. And these are items, again, you won't see in a big box retail. They won't travel. They won't ship. They can't be produced on such a commercial stage. So it's that uniqueness of your product that really sets these businesses out.
Lisa Kivirist, our guest on the show today. It's fun talking with her about getting started in your own food business right from your home kitchen right here in the state of Wisconsin. You can do it, and we'll be giving you a lot more information about that as we go through the show. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. We will take a quick look at the news, and we'll find out what else is in store for us. But then you can join in. I hope you do. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or a question or a comment, maybe an experience to share, email us at ideas@WPR as well. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, there are a lot of things that you can make and sell right out of your own home. Pies, pickles, wedding cakes, granola, preserves, decorated cookies. You have the freedom to create and sell your own homemade foods. And we're talking about that today with Lisa Kivirist. She's co-author of the book Homemade for Sale: How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. And the new course is How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. So as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Do you have your own homemade food business? How did you get started and get going? What problems do you have, or concerns, or what have you done in the way of successes? Maybe you have a question about how to make this happen yourself. I hope you'll join in. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Well, Lisa, let's talk about your book and what you've got for folks, because I think there's a lot in what you've written that would be really helpful to people.
Sure. Thanks, Larry. So the Homemade for Sale book, my husband, John Ivanko, and I wrote now a solid 5 years ago, when, as I was sharing earlier, I first heard about cottage food opportunities. And this is all still very new. Most states have instituted their cottage food laws since 2008, which folks might recall was the last Great Recession, and forward-thinking states who wanted to figure out ways to help support small-scale entrepreneurs. But nobody knew about it, or people kept saying, no, that's illegal. Well, that's what prompted the Homemade for Sale book, which really goes into everything you would need to know to get started, writing your business plan, marketing, developing that unique product, all of those things. We're actually working on a second edition of the book because so much has happened in the last 5 years that we'll be expanding. That's my winter project, Larry, and with John. The other course, which is you can find on the Udemy platform, came about because people still wanted to learn more. So that class actually ended up, I think, over 5 hours. There's a special section specifically for Wisconsin, particularly our quirky history on baked goods here in Wisconsin. You can hear me talk about it at length. And all of that's available off of our book site, forsale.com. But intended to be resources to help more of us get started who have these inner dreams of starting a food business.
And we'll have links on my page as well. Go to the Larry Mailer Show, or WPR.org/Larry, excuse me, and we'll have that those links in the notes section. When you've got a product you're happy with, you know, you have to think about packaging and labeling it. Should we be expecting to hire a designer for our labels, or is it enough to create something ourselves?
Sure. It's an interesting question because I think it's balancing the professional nature of your business with the homespun nature that it is your home kitchen. And folks are doing this really creatively with, doing it from home. So there's a number of label templates online. Avery has one that you can create your labels off of your home computer. And for folks interested, both the Pickle Bill you can go to, or for the baked goods, wisconsincottagefood.com, we have the verbiage you'd want to put on your label so you make sure you have the key pieces of information there. But then also, this isn't a mass marketed product. So how can you get creative to professionally communicate the high quality, but also the fact that you are the food artisan? And one thing I do with our pickle labels and my canned items, which anybody's welcome to use. So I print the labels. It has, my labeling information, the name of the product, my address, et cetera. And then I handwrite in the production date you need to put on your label, but that changes. So I write that in. And then let's say I made 12 jars of pickles. I'll put jar one of 12, jar two of 12. Just like a fine art print, my pickles. But, it helps at the market because it communicates, hey, there's only a couple of these. It's a unique thing. I want one. I want two. So there's creative ways like that to authentically communicate the small scale operations that we are.
Let's take a call. Julie in Waukesha, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm a maker of beef jerky, and I've been wondering about how I should sell it. I was thinking of going to a farmer's market, but then I thought, well, I can't just put it into Ziploc bags and sell it that way. I'm listening about the labels. I hadn't thought of that. Without giving away my recipe, though, do I need to have all the ingredients on that label, or how does that work?
Sure. Well, one thing quick for beef jerky is that would need to be made in a commercial kitchen with commercial licensing. Meat products would be considered hazardous. So once you get to that level, then you'll have specifics regarding how the label would need to be produced from a commercial perspective. And you would need to include your ingredients. It's the same as if you bought anything off the shelf in the grocery store. Folks might have food allergies or other things. So that would need to be included. But most importantly, to be clear that jerky is a commercial product. I understand Pennsylvania is the only state in the country that does allow jerky produced in home kitchens, but unfortunately not yet here.
No. And when you talk about ingredients, you can list the ingredients, as I note on most labels, you can list all the ingredients, but you don't list the amounts necessarily. Would you, Lisa?
Sure. No, you don't need literally your recipe, but standard labeling, the highest used ingredient to the lowest. And here's too, where we as small batch producers really have an opportunity to use the local ingredients. We have so many more local grain growers here in Wisconsin that these products can shine Wisconsin so easily. On the homemadeforsale.com site, you can click to a separate project that a group of farmer friends and of mine worked on here through North Central SARE, which is a database of recipes, tested recipes, that use farm and garden raised products. So for example, we wanted to bring our zucchini bread to market, and zucchini, pumpkin, some of these food ingredients have a lot of water. So for example, a traditional zucchini bread, a loaf that we all are familiar with, would be considered hazardous because, you know, how it gets real gooey in the middle, that would not be safe to bring to market. But we figured it out. We developed recipes for things like a non-hazardous zucchini muffin. We learned, for example, if you let the shredded zucchini sit with a little salt, let the water run out, then it will test non-hazardous. So on that site you can link to, there's a database of recipes. All of them have the lab tests there. We did the testing for you. So a really good way to showcase what we're growing here in Wisconsin in your products.
Yeah, that's really cool. What about getting the, you know, other options for getting our products out there for consumers? You know, there's a kind of a marketing aspect to this, but just I love the idea of the farmers markets. What are other ways that they might, that people might get their products out there?
Sure. The bakers have cornered the Instagram market because it's all about the beautiful visual, right? And the photos. So I see a lot of home bakers hopping on Instagram as well as Facebook, but it's that really social sharing of their products that goes a long way to get the word out quickly. But yeah, farmers markets are great as well. Pop-up markets. I mean, we can be anywhere where we sell our product directly to our customer. So you can get creative in what that might be, but ways that you can sell direct. But also that special order bit is key, especially for bakers, in that you know what's coming up ahead of time. The biggest challenge for a lot of home cottage food entrepreneurs is managing that and making items. If you're making custom cookies for wedding favors, that's a lot. It's a lot of time. So there's definitely a learning curve for all of us in how to manage it. But that's the beauty, Larry, of these cottage food kitchen-based businesses, is you really fail. You've got all of the pieces already. You have all the equipment and you most likely have the skill set. So you can turn things up or turn things down as often as you want. There's a friend of mine here outside Monroe, Chris Sachs, who he basically has one product he produces around Christmas of his grandma's stolen, the traditional holiday bread. And he's perfected that. He's got a reputation. It's a great product. And that's what he does during those months of the year. So that's the joy of being your own entrepreneur, is you can control when and how you do things. Most of the businesses nationally, as well as here in Wisconsin, are women led. There's definitely a female skew. We love this. They're part-time businesses. What's interesting too, especially here in Wisconsin, is the businesses skew rural. So places like myself who live on farms, who live in outside areas where there might not be that many job opportunities or other things like this, you can start your own wherever you are. And while part-time, there are a lot of us who have bigger dreams. And as we were talking about earlier, it's the perfect way to test your ideas before taking on bigger debt and bigger plans.
You know, I think just what comes to mind here before we go back to the phones, pricing things and figuring out, you know, what's the value of my product? And at the same time, I still need to make a little profit here. I can't just be giving it away.
Oh, totally, Larry. And that is the literally million-dollar question that we talk a lot about for folks interested. We have a Facebook group, Wisconsin Home Bakers Business Owners, where folks are really collaborative, sharing information on pricing. It is very important to value your work, number one.
Yeah.
As a society, we don't value food. And this is not a business for cheaper is better. Or if anybody tells you, you know, I could get this cake cheaper at the big, huge industrial grocery store, just tell them, fine. You are in a different league. But it's difficult, especially when folks are getting started out, to do that accurately. You have your ingredient cost. And for a lot of these products, there's the time cost as well. So folks, experiment, you know, of both how to create something that is productive in that you can, you know, pump them out quickly. There's all kinds of creative systems people have designed, but also too, to connect with customers that value what you're doing and are willing and very willing to pay a fair price. Because again, a lot of folks making these products are food artisans, not factories. And that needs to be reflected in the price paid.
Rachel in Milwaukee, let's go to you. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having Lisa on and having this topic on the show. My question is about, so I have a recipe. I use, it's an olive oil cake recipe, and I'm concerned about the, I do single layer cakes. I do loaf breads, banana or lemon or orange, and then I do a variety of mini bun cakes and such. So I've been going through, you know, trying to change up the moisture. I guess, how do you determine if it's not a, recipe that I can find testing for? I'm just wondering about the moisture content. Do I have to have just that recipe tested with the state? Do I have to have each type of product I make from it tested for non-hazard, you know, okayness or whatever? I guess that's my question. Yeah.
Sure. No, that's an important question, Rachel. It's a little tricky sometimes because you can't just eyeball something. Some things are obvious, like a biscotti cookie. Again, most cookies, most baked goods would be considered non-hazardous, but you're really wise to ask the question and to make sure that your products are safe. You wouldn't, bottom line, need to have a recipe tested if you're not sure. It's a private lab. There's food labs throughout the state that, you know, typically they do bigger commercial things, but they can do a basic water activity test and then you'll know. And then you'll know. But what's a little confusing too with this issue is it's not that dry is good and moist is bad. It has to do with how the ingredients work together. So for example, something like a traditional cherry pie is non-hazardous, but that's really moist, right? So why? Well, it's the sugar. Sugar helps make an item non-hazardous. So something like a traditional pecan pie would be non-hazardous. So it's, unless you're a food scientist, and even food scientists always tell me, because I'm asking them these questions all the time, to have your recipe tested. And maybe when you, once you do a few of them and they're similar, you have the confidence to know that your product is safe to sell. But really glad you're asking that question.
And so what would be the name of a, or under sort of what general category would you go look for to find a company, a lab that does that testing?
Sure. So if you go under the WisconsinCottageFood.com site that we have set up as an informational site through the Wisconsin Farmers Union, you'll get a listing. We link to a list that basically the Department of Ag DATCAP puts out. That's just a list of labs. Call around a little bit. Okay. It's perhaps not the most intuitive. And you literally bring in a sample of the recipe. It's not the written recipe. So they take that sample, they run the tests on it. I mean, you can get a little creative. I have water activity tests are around. My local community college has one, and I can go in and test things for free, but it's not a lab certified test. And if you're going to put something on the market, you would want a lab certified test. And again, off the Homemade for Sale site, when you get to that project on the, it's called the Farmstead Bakery, but the recipes are there for everybody. Those are all lab tested and you can easily use those.
Thanks, Rachel. Mary in Pewaukee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I heard the woman that has the beef jerky and I thought about Marketplace on Facebook. I don't know if I can mention that, but or other places like that where you can actually advertise. Now, would that be legal and would that be available for her to, you know, people to buy and her to sell? And then I was thinking about banana bread that my mom made and doing something like that. And I've been thinking about that for years, but never did that because we have a good sized kitchen where I actually could do, you know, quite a few at a time.
Yeah.
Your Lisa? Thoughts on that?
Sure. Your first question, sure. No, you can use any means to advertise within the state. I don't, you know, Facebook or other portals like that may have their own rules. you obviously can't ship outside the state, anything like that. And if you have a product like with the jerky that needs to be in a commercial kitchen, it needs to obviously have the, you know, right procedures behind it. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of commerce going on social media, especially if you might have a local neighborhood group or something like that, or next door folks use a lot of what they're selling. So that's all fair game with that. To your point, your idea about the product is banana bread. This is good. Everybody's calling with the iffy stuff. I keep saying there's a wide net of things that are perfectly fine, but banana bread is one of those ones, just like zucchini bread. I would definitely have that recipe tested. It has to do with the water content in the bananas. And while I can squeeze water out of a zucchini, I haven't figured out how to do that from a banana. But test it out. Sometimes things like a banana bread, if you make things smaller, like in a cupcake form, that helps on the water activity bit. Adding elements like raisin or chocolate chips, my favorite, that can help too, because that absorbs some of the moisture. We're sort of getting into the recipe weeds here. There's ways to develop things, and there's some products that cannot be produced out of home kitchens. But again, the majority of cookies, all these beautiful sugar cookies you see decorated, the basic cakes, those fruit pies we were just talking about, those are all completely fair game.
And thanks, Mary, for calling. If you were thinking about issues and maybe from your own experiences or at least observing others, what's been the stumbling block, or maybe somebody started and then couldn't follow through with it or had to leave it? Is there sort of a downside or
sure.
I guess not, or something to be careful about?
You bet. No, two things there that we've touched on already is, number one, your pricing. Is these are meant to be financially viable businesses. You're not giving things away, and charge a fair price. Do you want to sell three of the same cakes for $25 each, or one cake for $75? You know, do the math. So that, and also to not taking on too much work. What happens to a lot of these businesses in a wonderful way is they just take off. People see their beautiful product and want to order more, and you can always have the right to say no. You don't have to say yes to every order, and you don't want to overbook yourself. Believe me, over the recent holidays and now heading into Valentine's Day, those are big times for bakery products, and that's great, but take on what you can do, and you can always scale back. You can always scale up. You're the one in control.
Yeah, that's the, you know, here we are in Wisconsin. We like to say yes all the time.
Totally. Totally, Larry. You don't have to make cookies for everybody.
Well, and just balancing, I just think balancing the business aspects while you're still enjoying it, because you want to enjoy this.
Yep, totally. And two, for a lot of the home-based food entrepreneurs in the state, in the country, are moms who are home with their kids. And that's an ideal situation where you can balance that around your kid's schedule, around your schedule, mm-hmm. taking things on. The other thing too, speaking of kids, is we've seen an uptick in teens starting businesses. I was just talking to a mom of a gal in the Milwaukee area who is 15 and sells her macaroons. So lots of opportunity if you have a wannabe baker in your house and feel that entrepreneurial surge. And now she's plotting culinary school.
Very cool. Well, again, how do people find out more? You mentioned a website or two just in the last 20 seconds here.
So the main homemadeforsale.com site is for the book. And that's where you can also link to that new Udemy course. There's a discount link there too. So you can find all of that there, as well as the recipe database and things. And then on the Wisconsin front, wisconsincottagefood.com has the basics on the baking side that we've been talking about. And you can also find that Wisconsin Home Bakers Business Owners Facebook group as well.
Always a pleasure, Lisa. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks for all your support on this, Larry.
Lisa Kivris, it was fun to talk with her. And we'll post those links as well. Go to wpr.org/Larry, and you can find those links there as well. Great talking with her. Tomorrow, sports reporter Megan Hart joins us to talk about the latest in Wisconsin sports. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.